You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. I am Greeny, and as you can see, we are jam-packed.
There is snakes on this Mickey Ficky plane.
About time I have other people in the kitchen that can cook.
We see that differently.
I got some people to do the collard greens.
Think about me.
Baked macaroni and cheese.
Maybe helicopter me out, whatever I can do.
I'll bring the dessert. I'm a bringer.
The New England Patriots are going to be all right because Superman has returned.
This is Cam Damn Newton we talking about.
What? This is what? What? Is Green Bay right now the best team in the NFC?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did Seattle decide not to play football no more?
Who's the best team in the AFC? Rex.
I think it's Baltimore.
It's Kansas City Chiefs.
The Baltimore Ravens are the Avengers, but this is Infinity Wars. Patrick Mahomes is still Thanos.
Who did he pick?
He took the Ravens, man.
We can argue over who's the best at a lot of things. There is very little argument over who is the worst. The Jets won the opening coin toss yesterday and should have elected to go home. They're projected to win 5 games this season. Why? They're going to play in the ACC?
Right now, they can't win the KFC championship. They don't know if they want crispy or original.
We have had a lot of fun here this week. And across the hall, KJZ has a lot of fun. Coast to coast on ESPN Radio. And every now and again, we have something called the crossover. Bart Scott went over there. And I got Jay Will. Very happy with how this could be the trade that benefits both teams.
Yes.
You know, that's what you're looking for. The classic trade that benefits both sides. But I'm very happy with the end of this that I got here.
I'm happy to be here. Let's get it.
How about LeBron and company last night? We have a huge hour coming your way. Live, as always, from the Seaport District at Pier 17. Brought to you by Chase. Jay Will is here. Let's go. We're going to get up starting right now with the King. He's now a win away after a decision he made last night that changed everything. You will hear what it was right off the top. Then, Fitzmagic, setting the kind of record only he possibly could. But does it delay the Dolphins' future? That's the question. We've got the answer. Plus, what does the Cowboys quarterback have planned for an encore as he goes head-to-head with the MVP? Those questions and more answered on this Football Friday edition of Get Up, starting right now with the game of the night. Lakers, Nuggets, game 4 in the bubble last night, Jay Will. LeBron with the message on the shoes. Obviously, this so much a part of the discussion in the bubble.
Also apologize to Breonna Taylor's mother for saying he let her down, but he played with that energy last night.
He did indeed. But early on, Jamal Murray.
Look at I mean, that's stuff that Michael Jordan made shots like this. As a player.
With LeBron James there on the defense, Murray had 16 at the half. Third quarter, Lakers up 6. LeBron went to the line 14 times last night.
Well, so did Anthony Davis. For 28 free throw attempts for the two of those players combined.
Fourth quarter, 7 minutes to go. Nuggets down 6. This is Murray again. How good has he been in these playoffs?
Look at that. I mean, that's a shot. He bangs off Anthony Davis, leaning back, takes a shot with the right hand over the top. Now, but I'll tell you, AD was good.
Here's the scary moment, though. Watch the left foot of Anthony Davis coming down on Paul Millsap. He would stay in the game, but this looks bad when you see it, Jay Will.
It does. He comes right down on the left ankle. Oh, yeah. It's not good. But you know what, though? AD came back. He was fine to continue to play.
Now, you'll see the limp as we show you here. He stayed in the game. He would score a game-high 34. Rondo's going to throw it up. Davis is going to throw it down. You'll see him limping as he works his way back up court, but he stayed out there. Now the game is decided by this. 5.5 to go when LeBron decides, I'm taking Jamal Murray the rest of the way.
Gets over the top of the screen, fights over the top of the screen. Also, they did a great job on Jokic. Jokic held scoreless in the fourth quarter.
And LeBron again, that would all turn defense into offense. That's KCP with the three, and then more LeBron on Jamal Murray. The defense forcing a tough shot, and it turns into a score on the other end.
I mean, that's a big time play. A lot of people question whether that was a foul or not, but still, not LeBron James' job to call the play and then runs down and gets the ball in transition for a big finish.
LeBron, 26 points, 9 boards, 8 assists. Lakers take a 3-1 lead over the Nuggets. They're a win away from another trip to the NBA Finals.
I knew it was winning time, and Jamal had it going. The kid is special. He has an array of shots, the triple threat. And for me, it's just trusting my defensive keys, my study of film, trusting personnel, and living with the results. I told my teammates that I had them, and everyone else can kind of stay at bay and stay home. and I was able to get a couple stops, and we was able to rebound the basketball, which is the most important thing.
So, according to Second Spectrum, LeBron James defended Jamal Murray on 9 half-court matchups during the fourth quarter last night, held him to 2 points and forced a turnover. Overall, LeBron held Denver to 0-for-6 shooting as the closest defender in the fourth quarter to close out the game for L.A. And this is a moment that just, it just makes my heart feel good to reunite Jay Williams and
Big Perk
on this show. It has been too long since I've seen
the man at Perk. He hasn't returned my text in 2 days. What's up, Perk?
Perk, are you ghosting my man Jay Will? What is that?
No, absolutely not. Hey, look, Jay Will know we go back like 4 flats on the Cadillac. Look, Green, my phone been down. My twins broke my cell phone.
Okay, right, fair enough. Okay, so Jay Will, I have a variety of places to go. Let me start there. LeBron James in a timeout says to Frank Vogel, the coach of the Lakers, I'm taking Jamal Murray the rest of the way. And I've had people this morning suggest that changed the game or won them the game. Do you think that?
I do. This is what we've always wanted from LeBron James, right? LeBron James also, one of his pressers, referenced back in 2012, 2013, that he should have been MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. We know he lost it to Marc Gasol. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, when it comes down to the stretch moments, LeBron James took on the challenge. I also want to make sure that we pay homage to Dwight Howard, because he did a phenomenal job on Jokic. Started the game, it wasn't JaVale McGee, and for Jokic to be held scoreless in the fourth quarter, that talks about the tenacity of the Lakers' defense.
Yeah, you brought that up in our first hour as well, Big Perk. Dwight Howard in the starting lineup, playing that defense, and then LeBron making the defensive switch that you've been calling for this entire postseason. Big Perk.
Absolutely. Well, look, with Dwight Howard in the game, it takes pressure off of Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is able to go out there and be that offensive threat, be the best scorer on the floor. Dwight, he imposes his will on the offensive end by attacking the glass offensively for offensive rebounds and putting pressure on Jokic. But look, Greeny, Jay Will, can we talk about playoff Rondo, that great floor general, for a second? Because look, I'm looking at playoff Rondo right now, and he's on the verge of becoming a Hall of Famer. If he wins this title, I think we should start putting him in the conversation of being a Hall of Famer, because he's going to be the only player in NBA history to win a title with the Celtics and the Lakers.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. We can talk about that as we go. You whispered to me right as we were coming on, if you're the Nuggets, you have something you're upset about this morning. What is it?
So Himbo said a classic line to me once here about a couple years ago. He said, you know, two things can be true at once, right? The Lakers played phenomenal defense. And also, offensively, they attacked the lane. They deserved a lot of these calls. But if you're a Denver fan, you're pretty pissed off right now, because you're saying that, hey, the Lakers sent a letter to the NBA wondering about why LeBron James didn't get the calls that he should have gotten. He should have went to the free throw line. And Anthony Davis and LeBron James combined for 28 free throw attempts. You know how many free throw attempts the Denver Nuggets combined for collectively, Greeny? 23. So 5 more free throw attempts for 2 players, more so for the entire Denver Nuggets team. And look, Mike Malone made comments after the game about it. If you're a Denver fan, you're sitting there wondering, how come we don't get those calls?
What do you think, Big Perk?
Oh, go cry me a river. The free throws is tied up in this series, 113-113, I believe. And by the way, look, LeBron James only shot, I think, two free throws last game. He's been attacking the basket all series. So, you know, the Nuggets have had their share of calls. Look, you people could argue and say, oh, you know, LeBron fouled Murray. Well, the refs didn't call it, so the foul didn't happen. I don't want to hear that. When you got two superstars going against each other, hey, may the best man win. The fouls are equal in this series, so I'm not buying it.
Okay.
I'm just saying he's not buying it, but the Lakers are the ones that sent the letter to the league. So, you know, cry me a river, one team was crying, then they get the calls. All I'm saying, it was 35 free throw attempts last night to 23.
Yeah, look, I have been advocating for years. The sternly worded letter is an extremely effective tool to be used in important circumstances. It always works. Okay, quickly, I have a poll question up today.
Okay.
With Anthony Davis and LeBron James together, one win away from a trip to the finals, over the course of LeBron's NBA career, was his best running mate Dwayne Wade, Kyrie Irving, or Anthony Davis?
Dwayne Wade for right now. You have to win me a title first. You have to win me multiple titles with LeBron James in order for me to say that you're the best running mate of all time. They win this one, he will start to be in the conversation. I think he's the best overall talent that LeBron James has ever had between him and Kyrie. But ultimately, I mean, you can say that about D-Wade too, but ultimately you have to win me more titles first.
What do you think, Big Perk?
You know what I'm rolling with. I'm rolling with Anthony Davis. I mean, look, we talking about one of the greatest championships of all time due to adversity. Jay Will, you said it earlier on your radio show that this might be one of the greatest championships of all time, and he's doing it with Anthony Davis. And this is the first time, really, that LeBron James has taken a back seat offensively. He passed the keys to Anthony Davis at the beginning of the year, and he's letting AD be AD. So I could say that AD is his best running mate of all time.
I could say maybe the piece fits because of how they can be involved in so many pick and rolls that works out together. But I don't know if, like, as relates to winning championships right now, I still would say with D-Wade.
And look, I mean, at the end of the day, it's also worth reminding you that it's not the same LeBron James. As great as he's playing, he's 35 years old now. When he and D-Wade won their first title together, he was 26. Big Perk, awesome. Jay Will headed back, KJZ, coast to coast on ESPN right every morning. You know we love having you here. Good to see you, Jay.
Thanks, brother.
As always. Meanwhile, the poll question is up. I'd like to hear what you think. Fascinated to see where this vote goes today, and I'll carry it over to radio starting at noon Eastern. Who do you think is the best running mate he's ever had? AD, Dwayne Wade, Kyrie? Cast your vote on my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny. So that was the game of the night. How about the performance of the night? It belonged to Ryan Fitzmagic as they went the stash versus the beard. Jaguars and Dolphins. First quarter, Fitzmagic came in hot, stayed that way. Third and goal at the three, Fitzpatrick, Preston Williams, touchdown. Fitzpatrick, oh, the reaction spectacular. Oh, it's a 7-0 Dolphins lead early. Now we pick it up 6 minutes to go in the second quarter. First and 10 in the red zone. This, dating back to last week, is Fitzpatrick's 20th straight completion. That one to Mike Gesicki, 15 yards and a score. Look at the celebration, 21-7 Miami. Third quarter, Jaguars 3rd and 13, down 14 points. Gardner Minshew, what you gonna do? Gardner Minshew, oh, that's not the right idea. Kyle Van Noy recovers the fumble. Dolphins deep in Jacksonville territory. Minshew finishes 30 of 42, 275, a fumble and a pick. Dolphins cash in, third and goal. Fitzpatrick takes it himself. Fitzpatrick, 18 of 20, 160 yards, two touchdowns, ran it seven times for 38 yards, and that score. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, in this win, sets the kind of record that literally only he possibly could. Fitzmagic against Jacksonville. He has now beaten the Jaguars with six different teams in his career. According to Elias, he is the only quarterback to beat a single opponent while playing for six different franchises. And that brings us to this. Looking at the Jacksonville side of this, our buddy Ryan Clark, who is the best Twitter feed in sports, tweeted, "This Gardner Minshew will get the tank for Trevor or fail for Fields rally cries going." Well, it just so happens I have Ryan Clark with me this morning, and RC jumps into the conversation with my guys. Rob Ninkovich is here, and our insider, Jeremy Fowler. RC, talk about that a little bit here. Jacksonville played well the first 2 weeks, sort of silenced a little bit of the tanking conversation, but you've brought it up again last night. How come?
Well, the reason is when you watch Gardner Minshew last night, I think that's everyone's that's everyone's worst nightmare, that you get the bottom ring of Gardner Minshew, that you don't get the Gardner Minshew that played against the Tennessee Titans and kept them in that game. You don't get the Gardner Minshew that played against the Indianapolis Colts week one and was able to eat that game out. You get this Gardner Minshew. You get the Gardner Minshew whose measurables don't show up. You get the Gardner Minshew who shows he doesn't have the arm strength or sometimes can make bad decisions. And so when you start to see those things combined with what's going on with the rest of the team, you start to think, oh, man, maybe we do need a quarterback. Maybe this guy isn't our quarterback of the future. And here is why. Another tweet I put out last night was in regards to something Troy Aikman was saying. Troy Aikman was talking about first rounders and late round draft picks and undrafted free agents. And he kind of fumbled over it, but that's because he was a first round draft pick. He doesn't know. The tweet was this. I said that first round draft picks have to work extremely hard to show you that they cannot play. Whereas late round guys and undrafted guys have to work their entire careers to show you that they can. And that's where Gardner Minshew is. Yeah. Every time he doesn't play well, every night that there's an opportunity to see that we can have somebody better, that's what people are going to start to think. And a night like last night really makes you look at Trevor Lawrence versus the Citadel and say, man, I wish he was dropping some of those dimes on Thursday night for us.
That's a very interesting way of putting it. And Rob Ninkovich, we brought this up in our meeting before the show, and the second I said the word tanking, I heard the reaction in your voice. Nink, your thoughts?
No, you don't tank. Look, NFL players, it's in you. It's a competitive thing. Look, you go out there on the football field, you want to win. You're competing against other guys in the NFL. You potentially could tear your ACL, be hurt for the rest of your career. Your career could be over, so you're not going out there on the football field to tank, okay? Greeny, that's like if we said to you, like, look, hey, Greeny, tomorrow, like, why don't you just not be so good on TV so then we can get a better guy next year to help you? Like, that's not going to be the case. It's not going to happen. So if the competitiveness in an athlete, you cannot go out there, and you can't even tank if you tried to tank because it's just not in you. If you make it to the NFL, there's no tanking in your system. You can't do it. It's not in you.
Totally get it. The people who wind up tanking are the ones who aren't playing on the football field, right? They're the owners and the GMs and all that. Yeah, go ahead, RC.
Greeny, yes, the players ain't going to tank, but you can't win if the tank is empty. If the Jacksonville Jaguars put together a team that can't get the car rolling, then you can't drive. And that's where they are. I know players don't tank. We decided on the grass. But if you don't have the guns, if you don't have the people, it don't matter.
Meanwhile, Jeremy Fowler, you have insight into this as our insider. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I can talk from the team perspective. I spoke to a source in Jacksonville who outlined all the reasons why they believe they are not tanking. Okay, they've paid players. Brandon Linder is one of three players, along with Joe Schobert, Miles Jack. They've gotten contracts of $50-plus million. I asked about all the guys that they traded away, Leonard Fournette, Yannick Ngakoue. I said, look, those players either didn't want to be here or they became a personality clash. So it just didn't fit our culture. They did try to go get Andy Dalton, a former Pro Bowler, to come in and compete at the quarterback spot. And they believe they have legitimate stars and guys like DJ Shark and, you know, some other players that are up and coming. You know, CJ Henderson, the cornerback, Josh Allen off the edge. And so they know that if they do not get it together and win some games, that not everybody might not be around for that rebuild.
Now, I'm not a body language expert, but Ryan Clark, you look skeptical to me. I got 30 seconds. Go. Oh, he froze. Oh, maybe that's the explanation why. That is a great one. Someone screenshot that. No, put it back up. I love it. That is that he froze in the most phenomenal position. Let's just see how long it stays that way. I mean, this is television in 2020. Let's just see if it ever comes back. Ryan Clark did look skeptical. Now he just looks frozen. All right, someone call his house. Make sure he's okay. We'll take a quick break. We'll go on. Coming up. He can instantly make a struggling offense so much better. Wait until you hear which team has shown the most interest in Antonio Brown. This could be difference-making. That's on the way. Then, wait until you hear how Lamar is looking ahead to the biggest NFL game of the season. You will, and we'll check on Ryan Clark as we continue. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and let's run the hurry up with our insider, Jeremy Fowler. Jeremy, what are the Eagles saying about the struggles of Carson Wentz?
Well, Greeny, the Eagles are expecting a bounce back from Wentz. I recently spoke to safety Jalen Mills. He said that Wentz is a great leader and that it carries weight in their locker room, but he performed so well leading them to the playoffs late last season despite several injuries on offense. So he gets a bit of the benefit of the doubt here. The team knows that he has highs and he has lows, but they are expecting a high. He's not a vocal leader. He's going to do it on the field, Mills says.
Up against Cincinnati this week. Meanwhile, how long is the leash for Trubisky in Chicago?
Well, Greeny, here's the deal. The Bears simply want to see consistency. They've seen him play a good half. They've seen him play not so great half. So they want to see him do it over four quarters. From what I'm hearing, it would probably take consecutive poor performances from Trubisky for them to go to Nick Foles. They know Foles is ready whenever. Week 14 playoffs, week 6. It's about Trubisky sustaining play. They believe he can do it.
They've got Atlanta this week. And then that brings us to AB. Antonio Brown still unsigned. What is the latest?
Yep. Well, nothing imminent. I did speak to a source close to Brown who told me that among all the teams that have looked into Brown the last few months, it might be the Houston Texans that have been the most active, shown the most interest. That comes with a huge caveat. Nobody is signing him right now with an 8-game suspension that could be even longer because he still has an unresolved case with his former trainer, Brittany Taylor. But Seattle came and went. Some other teams came and went. Houston's at least poking around here, so it's worth watching as the team sits at 0-2 without a number one receiver.
Yeah, obviously they traded away DeAndre Hopkins, and they've been sort of chasing that move ever since. Let me bring Rob Ninkovich into the conversation. We all know how talented AB is, and we all understand all the reasons why he's not on a team right now. Rob Ninkovich, do you believe the Texans should try to bring in Antonio Brown?
Yeah, well, they put themselves in this position by trading away their best receiver to Arizona. And Billy O, Bill O'Brien, has kind of put himself in a tough spot as the head coach and GM. He's going to get the questions from both directions as the head coach in decision-making on the field and then also his decisions off the field when you trade away your best player. So for me, they need a better receiving core. They need one extra guy. And Antonio Brown is, what is he, one of the best receivers that is potentially available. Yes, we know that there's question marks if when he would be available. But you look at his body of work, and the Texans right now, they pay their quarterback a ton of money. What does he need? He needs a big receiver. He needs a big target, a guy that can separate, make big plays. So does it make sense? Of course it does. But will it happen? I don't know. When will AB have the ability to get on the field and play for the Texans? I don't know. Their season might be lost by the time he's able to play anyway.
Well, you couldn't have a tougher start to your season schedule-wise than they have. They opened with Kansas City, then they play Baltimore, and now they wind up with Pittsburgh this weekend. I'm being told that we have Ryan Clark back. We had the free – oh, there we are. Thank you. All right, we're delighted to see you moving, Ryan Clark. That's a much better thing. And we're here talking about the Texans, according to our Jeremy Fowler, talking – maybe showing the most interest of any team at this point in Antonio Brown. We all know what they traded away. Do you believe that's a move that makes sense?
Well, it's a move that has to happen because this is Bill O'Brien saying, I'm very sorry, Deshaun Watson, for ruining your year. I'm very sorry, Houston Texans, for ruining your year. So let me at least try to salvage my star season by getting him a true number one wide receiver. And I do believe that this is the move. I think this is the time to get Antonio Brown. What I knew from playing with him for those years is that when he needs to toe the line enough, he knows how to do that. And going into Houston with his back against the wall, with an opportunity to prove to the world that he is still the Antonio Brown who had a six-year stretch that was unprecedented in the NFL, I believe that he can do that. I know that Deshaun Watson will be happy to have someone like him on the outside, and they just need it. Watching this offense is painful. Watching Deshaun Watson scramble around the pocket and try to find someone to throw to is like watching a horror film where Jason is walking behind the guy and you know eventually he's going to catch him and the machete is coming out. So if Bill O'Brien can make this happen, he needs to. Deshaun Watson needs it. This organization needs it. This is the move to make.
We shall see. In the meantime, that's three different former Patriot assistants that Rob Ninkovich has referenced this morning by their nickname. We've had B-Flo, we've had Matty P for Matt Patricia, and now we got Billy O for Bill O'Brien. The message here, coach under Belichick. You wind up a head coach somewhere else. Coming up, it's the biggest game of the NFL season so far. Chiefs, Ravens, Mahomes, Lamar. But one of our crew thinks this won't be a walk in the park for one of the quarterbacks. Find out why next.
It's a new day on ESPN Radio with new voices that have big things to say. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
That's how you build a winning culture.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz.
You are like the Einstein of life.
Reading.
How ridiculously good was that?
The Max Kellerman Show.
Why not get out in front of it?
And Janae Golic Jr.
I knew we were destined for greatness.
All day, every day.
Big names, new voices.
It is time to go to work.
Real talk. Weekdays on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and smart speakers everywhere.
If you're just joining us on Get Up, Lakers Nuggets Western Conference Game 4 last night, LeBron James with the messages on his shoes. So much of the conversation in the bubble has been about social justice and then the basketball, and this was interesting. In the fourth quarter, in a game in which Jamal Murray had played so well, LeBron James switched up the matchup. He guarded Murray in the fourth, and that changed the game, turning defense into offense. That three from KCP, it's a seven-point Laker lead, and then again, LeBron playing tough D. No call. We're going the other way. Rondo, LeBron, 26 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Lakers, a big win, 114-108. They take a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals. Headed to Game 5. And speaking of Game 5s, we've got one for you tonight. East Final, Heat Celtics, 8:30 Eastern. Jimmy Butler and the Heat, one game away from the NBA Finals. NBA Countdown gets our coverage started 7:30 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and on the ESPN app. All right, back to football, looking ahead to the weekend. More or less, Mark Sanchez, more or less 1.5 rushing touchdowns for Kyler Murray this week.
I'm going to go with more Greeny. This isn't an easy pick, but once you watch him, God, you compared him to Barry Sanders in your pick segment. I think he's got a little Darren Sproles sprinkled in there too. They're dialing up roles and making the running back, the guy who's supposed to run the ball for a living, go block for this guy. So yes, I'm going to say more. He's going to have at least 2 touchdowns.
I like the Sproles comparison. Meanwhile, Bart Scott, more or less 2.5 touchdown passes, Josh Allen against the Rams.
More. I think that Josh Allen's kind of really comfortable in his skin now. He's making all these off-schedule plays. He's thrown for 727 yards already, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. And listen, one thing we know that he doesn't have a receiver on the team that can outrun his arm, and he has a bunch of them that can go deep. That one, John Brown as well.
He's off to a great start, but a much tougher defense this week. Finally, Ryan Clark, more or less 2.5 touchdown passes for Patrick Mahomes Monday night.
You know what? I'm going to go less. And it's not because Patrick Mahomes is not a baller, but I love Marlon Humphrey. I love Marcus Peters on the other side. Now Jimmy Smith playing with an injury to their slot corner. And also Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been big in the red zone for this team. So I'm going less for Patrick Mahomes and a win for the Baltimore Ravens.
The fascinating matchup, Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson Monday night. They both talked about it yesterday.
It's a little different because when you're on offense, you're never going to go face-to-face. You never get to go straight up against Lamar, but you know that he's going to go out there and put up points.
Just like in the other game, you know, I don't have to focus on Mahomes. You know, I got to focus on their defense. I got to focus on scoring. I got to focus on my job and making my offense, you know, do our thing. But my defense got to rip by him in the offense.
Look, this is the game we've had circled on the schedule since the moment the schedule was released. And Mark Sanchez, I know you put together some tape this morning for us to watch on Patrick Mahomes.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I sure did, and appreciate the guys for editing this. Listen, we can go so many ways. He scrambles for third down conversions consistently. He has the splash plays down the field for Tyreek Hill. But what I've seen on film that's really stood out to me, part of its scheme, but part of its his maturity, is in the red zone utilizing Travis Kelce with a couple different packages. Here we got Travis Kelce. They're going to use him in motion quite a bit. They see the defender trailing him. They know it's man-to-man. They have four defenders to cover their three offensive targets. But number 11, Robinson, he runs through the middle, gets Zach Cunningham, number 41 of the Texans, to displace and widen. And Mahomes is ready to anticipate that throw, throws a dart off his ear. Here again, they set up a bunch formation. They use Travis Kelce. This time they see it zone. And the number 44 for the Chargers, Kazir White, he says, no. I've seen this movie before, and it's a horror flick. You're not going to get me on the inside, buddy. So he stays inside. They play zone, and now they just high-low the corner. And look at Patrick Mahomes flick that thing to the back pylon. Man, he is on fire right now. A lot of this, like I said, is scheme, but his ability to master that scheme and become a surgeon when he comes down low in the red zone and makes you pay.
Well, it's a great look at it. And again, he said during the offseason that he basically was still learning to read defenses. Sometimes we think of Patrick Mahomes, we talk about him like he's been in the league for 20 years. And this is still a kid who's not 25 years old yet. But Ryan Clark, you like the defensive matchup. So when we look at all the things Mahomes does, Bart Scott told me in our first hour this morning, the Ravens built that defense specifically for this offense in this game.
Listen, I agree with Bart 100%. This is what this team was built for. And I know, you know, we've been in the bubble with the NBA. To me, it's kind of like what the Clippers were built for. The Clippers weren't necessarily built to beat every team. They were built focusing on the Lakers. And that's how this defense was built. You look at this defense since acquiring Marcus Peters last year, and they've been one of the best all-around defenses in the NFL. Now you get Calais Campbell up front. And there's Derek Wolfe. You go get a speedy run, a linebacker like Patrick Queen in the first round from LSU. This is a team that can blitz, a team that can play tight man-to-man coverage and force you to make difficult throws under duress. That's the type of team that you have to be in order to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs. You need to get pressure into the face of Patrick Mahomes, and you need to have close man-to-man coverage to make him try to fit footballs into tight windows. It's not to say that Patrick Mahomes can't do that, because we've seen it over and over again, but I think this will be his most difficult task so far in the 2020 season.
Yeah, no question about that. How about on the other side? How about, Bart, what we expect from Lamar Jackson against the Kansas City defense?
Well, you talk about Lamar Jackson, what you're going to see is those off-schedule plays, those explosive plays. A lot of quarterbacks get explosive plays by throwing the ball, and explosive plays are 20 yards or more. He can get them with his legs. He's willing to put so much pressure, because if you decide to play man-to-man coverage, you have nobody to spy the quarterback. And even if you have somebody to spy the quarterback, he's a guy that changes angles. He's a guy that goes with the R2, L2 spin. And listen, you can't catch him. And until you have him in space, he's making you look foolish. So guys are afraid to kind of shoot their shot, because they're afraid that if they get embarrassed, they're going to be on ESPN.
Did you read that stat again that Hembo had up there? Lamar Jackson is 21-1 against every other team in the regular season. Cleveland was that one loss. Are you seeing it, Mark? Are you seeing the development in the pocket from Lamar Jackson that everyone here has been talking about for the last 2 weeks?
Oh, 100%. And this is, he's going through that same learning process that Patrick Mahomes is, and they're just getting more and more comfortable as these games go on. But did you see that last throw off his back foot? I mean, that's like Dan Marino. This is ridiculous. And he can do this. He can make you pay by running the ball. Defenders know, RC, Bart, Rob, when a quarterback can scramble for a first down on third down, that just breaks the defense's back. So with all their weapons on offense, the sky's the limit for this kid, and he sure is developing well.
And again, in this day and age where quarterbacks start to play so quickly, I think we sometimes think of these guys as grizzled veterans, because it feels like they've been around a long time. They're under the age of 25. We'll see them together on Monday night. Meanwhile, more quarterback play as we continue. Dak Prescott wants to get paid like the best. This weekend, he's going up against the guy who might just be the best. We'll talk about Dak's big test right after this. Get up on ESPN. We'll be right back. We are back on Get Up, and in the midst of all of this NFL conversation, huge college football news yesterday, the Pac-12 is back. Pac-12 CEOs have approved a seven-game conference schedule beginning November 6th. With that decision now, all five of the Power Five conferences will be competing this fall. Mark Sanchez is a former USC star. Paul Feinbaum and our insider Heather Dinich get up early with me this morning. But Paul, I want to start with you because I feel like this is really the question. If a team like, let's just say USC, in honor of our friend Mr. Sanchez, finishes 7-0 and some team in the SEC winds up 8-1 or something like that, how should the College Football Playoff Committee deal with that conundrum?
Greeny, I think it's going to come down to, you know, the competition. If SC has played a major team like Oregon, I think it would help them immensely. But if somehow that game gets scrubbed and they end up with Oregon State and they don't have a signature win, I think it would perhaps disqualify them. I don't think the number of games really matters. And before getting too deep into another subject, man, was this ever a year the College Football Playoff could have maybe gotten off its high horse and opened it up for a couple more teams just to satisfy questions like yours?
Well, that's a very interesting thought. Heather, let me give those to you in order. First off, what, if anything, are they saying at the committee about how a seven-game schedule will be viewed?
Well, Gary Barta, who's the chair of the committee and the athletic director at Iowa, told me that they will continue to do it the same way they've always done it, which is evaluate them based on the teams they play, determined by whatever the conference's schedule is. You know, they're, the seven games, like Paul said, for the Pac-12 isn't going to be the problem for them. They haven't set a benchmark yet because nobody knows how many games anyone will get through. The Pac-12's problem is that it needs a team to go from good to great to compete for one of those semifinal spots.
Yeah, the way that you could avoid that problem, Paul just brought it up, but there's a couple of different ways. One of them is you could be flexible with the date by which all this has to be finished. I yelled at you about that yesterday. It's not getting me anywhere. So let me go to Paul's idea here. How about this one year, we're in a pandemic. If there was ever a time to make a little adjustment and see how it goes, baseball's about to start a 16-team postseason. How about the idea of college football expanding it a little this year? Heather?
It's not going to happen. There are way too many contracts to unravel. We're talking about the Rose Bowl, those New Year's Six Bowls. Look, I asked CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock how long it took to go from the BCS to what we have now, and his answer was 2 to 3 years, right? So you're talking about something that you can't wake up tomorrow morning and say, hey, let's make this thing bigger. Is playoff expansion inevitable? I believe it, absolutely, but it's not going to happen quickly.
Yes, I said it yesterday on the radio. No one in the world loves anything the way college football loves the way we've always done it. That's their favorite thing in the world. Sanchez, you're a legendary SC quarterback. What do you think of this? A seven-game schedule? Should the Pac-12 team get in there with everybody from all these other conferences?
Listen, the Pac-12 is already operating at a deficit. The games are on too late for the East Coast. They're like Rodney Dangerfield. No respect. We get no respect. So all I'm saying is, Heather, we gotta expand this playoff. Feinbaum's right. If there's any year to do it, the NFL did it. The rigid, we don't change for anybody, NFL did it. So don't tell me that nobody else can do it. All you have to do is put a small asterisk right there and just say global pandemic, bigger playoff. That's all they need. If not, then somebody from the Pac-12 essentially has to go undefeated, and still it's they might lose out to a, you know, 7-1, 8-1 loss team. SEC team. So it's just, it's really
absolutely
too bad.
Paul, let me give you the final word here. Paul, your thoughts?
Yeah, and the most embarrassing thing for the league yesterday was that the commissioner, Larry Scott, didn't even argue for it. I mean, if there was ever anyone who should stand up for his league, who's, I think, has only had two teams in the college football playoff, it should be him. But he said, yeah, we're happy. We're not really looking to change. That's the problem with college football, Greeny. They can't change anything. Although the NCAA said yesterday, we don't care if you win a game, you can go to a bowl game. That's okay, but the college football playoff can't add one weekend. Ridiculous.
They'll change that. Heather, you're getting a text right now, aren't you? What is it? Is it someone mad about what we're saying?
Well,
what is it?
I wanted to respond to that. Larry Scott was pressed on the teleconference yesterday. Larry Scott was pressed on the teleconference yesterday, why aren't you the one advocating for this? And he said, I promise you there are some very robust conversations that are going on. But collectively, he said, the commissioners believe what they have right now is working. But he did address that. He was asked that question, why aren't you the one pushing it? Because you seem to be the one who could most benefit from it. And he said, very robust conversations are going on.
All right, let's do this on the radio again a little later. I want more on that. And by the way, if you had Mark Sanchez doing a Rodney Dangerfield impression on your 2020 bingo card, you just won. Meanwhile, back to the NFL. The last time Dak Prescott played the Seahawks, he engineered a fourth quarter comeback in what remains the only win so far of his postseason career. Now they go head-to-head again this weekend, and he was talking about the confidence his team brings into Seattle for a showdown Sunday.
If you could go up there and win the game,
oh, got you.
Would that be for your confidence beating such a good team?
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan. The plan is to go up there and to get a win. And then when you do that, knowing that this team is good, this team's hot, they've got a hot quarterback right now, but just allows the confidence to grow, but it's a step that we must take, and it's something that we must do to get to where we want to go.
So I hate to say, Ryan Clark, that maybe the best thing that could happen to Dak Prescott was his team to fall down 20-0. But when they did last weekend, they were forced to become extremely aggressive. He rose to the challenge. Now, head-to-head in a really big game against a guy who's having an MVP season, what do you expect from Dak Sunday against Seattle?
You know how Dak should be sitting at his house looking at his iPad? Remember how Mike was looking at his iPad when we brought up Karl Malone on The Last Dance and Charles Barkley, and he was like, oh, so you think that guy's the best? I'm going to show you. That's how Dak Prescott needs to walk into Seattle. Oh, you think that guy's the best? I'm going to show you. So many times, Dominique Foxworth compares Dak Prescott to Russell Wilson, where here's his opportunity. And here's his opportunity and something that we're not paying attention to because Russell Wilson is really good. Their defense gives up bombs. Yes, it is great to watch Jamal Adams run around and do all these amazing things and blitz the quarterback. But you go back to week one, Matt Ryan over 400 yards, Cam Newton 396 yards through the air last year with wide receivers other than Julian Edelman, nobody else wants on their team. So if you're Dak Prescott, after showing what you showed against the Atlanta Falcons last week after you were down 20, you know you have CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore. Now I know you are the guy that can create the big plays. This is an offense that can score. And by the way, you are going to have to score against the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson. This is the week. If there was ever a week you wanted to give your agent an opportunity to say, hey, look, Jerry, you got to come see us in the offseason. This is the dude. Give us our money. It's this week. Go to Seattle and not only win, but dominate offensively. Dominate in the pass game. This is the week to prove to not only yourself, your organization, but the world that you deserve everything you said you did. I'm excited about this week. It's the perfect team to go do it. The Seattle Seahawks lost Marquise Blair, their starting nickel. This is going to be fun to watch.
I'm with you. Ninkovich, do you like Dak in a shootout? If they get into a shootout with Seattle, do you like Dak to keep up with Russell Wilson?
No. No. I'm going Russell Wilson. Come on, look. We wouldn't even be talking about this if it was for the if it wasn't for the incompetence of the Falcons special teams unit on that onside kick watching the football go 10 yards. So look, I'm just telling you, we were looking at Russell Wilson right now. He threw one interception, which basically was volleyballed into the air for the Patriots to intercept and run back for 6 points. So if you look at that game with versus the Patriots, it wouldn't have even come down to the last play if it wasn't for that fluke toss up in the air by Greg Olsen. So for me, I'm going with Seattle just because of the fact Russell Wilson's playing out of his mind right now. He's throwing the ball all over the field. He's throwing it to different receivers, and DK Metcalf is on my fantasy team. So let's go.
I love it. Very quickly, I just want to see your face. Show me what Belichick's face would look like if their special teams made the mistake the Falcons did on that last week. Give me an impression.
It's the same face all the time.
Like, go ahead, Rob. Do it again. That was good.
I mean, what are we doing? Jesus Christ.
Extremely well done. All right. That was absolutely worth whatever it was that it cost us. On the other end of this break, coming up, one of our analysts says it is about to get a whole lot worse for Carson Wentz. You will hear who and why coming up in a moment. And then, First Take is on the way. They're about 10 minutes from right now. Max, Stephen A., Chris Paul joins the show. It's First Take, 9 minutes from now on ESPN. UFC 253 is tomorrow night on pay-per-view. Middleweight champ Israel Adesanya, facing undefeated Paulo Costa, and then Dominic Reyes will take on Jan Błachowicz for the vacant light heavyweight title. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Meanwhile, time for the Sunday picks. Hashtag KOD in 3, 2, 1. Raiders, Patriots. Cam Newton is not better than Tom Brady, but his team is. Vegas, short week, long trip, 33-16, New England. Rams, Bills. Question, is Josh Allen for real? Answer, yes he is. Rams shuffled off from Buffalo with their first L, 20-16. Texans, Steelers. I'm telling you, there's a big three in the AFC because Big Ben is back. Houston, goodbye, 27-21 Pittsburgh. Bengals, Eagles. If Carson Wentz loses this week, there won't be a lot of brotherly love left in his city. It'll be tight, but he won't. Fly, Eagles, fly, 24-20. 2-0 Bears, 0-2 Falcons. I don't know how either of these teams has that record. Matty Ice versus Mitch is a mismatch. Atlanta at home, 26-14. Jets, Colts. If the Jets win the opening coin toss, they should elect to go home. Indy, 36-6. Lions, Cardinals. If Barry Sanders had been a quarterback, he'd have been Kyler Murray. Perhaps fans in Detroit will enjoy watching that. But not much else. Zona by 10. Bucks, Broncos. Jeff Driscoll has thrown for just under 2,000 yards in his career. Tom Brady, just under 49 miles. Give me Tampa Tom, 44-14. Cowboys, Seahawks, good game. Dak Prescott was sensational last week. He almost looked like Russell Wilson. This year's MVP stays perfect, 38-36. Finally, Packers, Saints, the two best players in this game, both go by the name of Aaron. The scorched earth tour continues, 31-23, Green Bay. Those are the hashtag KOD picks. Ryan Clark, am I told you have a question?
Greeny, what is hashtag KOD?
Glad you asked. Kiss of death. My picks are legendarily terrible, so they originally became the kiss of death picks. Then when social media started, they became hashtag KOD. You want to make a fortune? Just bet against me. Meanwhile, let me bring the rest of the crew in here, wrap it up with bold predictions heading into week three. Mark Sanchez, starting with you, what's your bold prediction?
Let's get it started off the right way. Not the way he had to take the field last week. Far from ideal, and my thoughts are with Tyrod Taylor. But listen, Justin Herbert's going off this week. I'm calling 3 touchdown passes and a victory. He's got to just take care of that football. Don't get too cute. Don't try and have too much fun. Just let that offense work and go play, baby.
I like it, Sanchez. Rob, next, what's your bold prediction?
The Cleveland Browns will trade Jarvis Landry and not OBJ to the New England Patriots. So watch out. Cam's going to have a target in Landry, and everyone's going to be super afraid of that one.
Wow, that's a great one. Next up, Ryan Clark, bold prediction.
Dang. Right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers will shut out the Houston Texans, and the Houston Texans won't even wait the rest of the week to get Antonio Brown. It's a shutout. They get a goose egg on the board, and they get Antonio Brown as a wide receiver. We'll see him week 9 for the Houston Texans.
Okay, that's another interesting one. These are good. Bart, finish it up.
I'm going with the Cincinnati Bengals in the upset over the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz struggles, already sacked 8 times on a year, 4 interceptions, and they make a trade for Nick Foles and bring him on home.
I got to tell you, I asked for bold predictions. You guys came up big today. I mean, these are real. I can't decide which is the boldest of the bold predictions, but I like them all very much. And there's really only one good way to finish it. The best moment of the show today, go ahead, put it up there. No question. Because Ryan Clark just froze. And you know, it's such a crazy time in TV. I didn't realize he was frozen. I just thought, Ryan, you were making that face.
Hey, I was making the face because Jeremy Fowler was giving us all the reasons that the Jaguars have written down that they aren't tanking. And so I was asleep, and then my TVU went to sleep on him too because that's how crazy it was.
I got you. We are out of time. Have a wonderful weekend. First Take starts now.